That we're doing here. It's called Just Three Words. 2 weeks ago, Jeff Burpee spoke to us. What were the three words that Jeff Burpee talked about? Oh, thank you. That was so nice of you guys to tell me that. And last week, Nick Mandy Mortel talked to us about three words. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I didn't even sneeze. So this week we are talking about three words that are probably the most common greeting in our society right now. How are you? So we probably hear that phrase or use it, I would say, dozens and dozens of times a day, unless you're a hermit, right? Unless you just like work in a job where you don't interact with people very much. But it's the first thing that we always say to each other when we see somebody, how you doing? Or we say some variation of it, right? And a matter of fact, kind of a quick little video for you to watch. Back in the late 90s, this TV character made a name for himself with this phrase. Any husbands out there want to admit that was how they attracted? There we go, George. George, I just knew. So with this in mind here, I know we just got done with a little conversation around our tables, but I want to take and kind of shift gears. So around your tables, I want you to make two lists. On the left-hand side, make a list of phrases that are a variation of how are you. Okay, so how you doing? On the right hand side, another list, the response to that. How many different responses are there? Okay, so let's just take a couple minutes, have some fun with it, and then we'll come back together in a second. They do. Awesome. We set the bar pretty low. We got to four, and then we got distracted talking about 90s commercials. Can you guys beat four? Oh, yeah? How many did you get to? I should have known. Both. We'll just lump them together. How many do you have, Danita? Six. Oh, so they're at 14. Anybody beat 14 variations? You got distracted too? We are all ADHD this morning. Who's driving this bus? Greeting has taken many forms in our culture, right? We just use it so much that you want to kind of mix it up. I was telling our group, my table, the thing that I hate is the response, good in you. Like they can't even take the time to say and. Like they're cutting out two letters, you know, it's so overused. It's the same thing as when we've said, I love you, or God bless. We've used it so much, and it's become so common that we kind of water it down. So, and to this point, a couple years ago, I was at my father-in-law's funeral, and my wife Karen and I, we were in just a really tough time, very, very stressful period in our lives together. And I sit down at the funeral, the little dinner they had for us after the funeral, and I sit down next to a friend of mine. I've known him for a long time, and he said, "How you doing?" And what was my response? Good, and you? Yes, yeah, good. How could I wasn't really even thinking. It was just part of the conversation. I'm sure you guys have done that too. It's just a question, and it's really become more about being polite and being courteous, right? It's just the way that we say hi to each other. But for some of us out here, I just know that it drives you nuts, because when you ask the question, you really do want to know how I am, right? And I've had that, and I won't say anybody's name, but I may be pointing his direction. That guy over there will do that to you on occasion. How you doing, Aaron? I'm good. Really? You're really doing good? So the reality is, we all do that. We either ask the question without intending to hear from it, or we answer it without intending to really go into it deeper. But we gather here this morning as Grace Community Church. As a church, we're part of Jesus' body, and the Bible says that we are a family. And I don't know how it is in your family. I can tell you that in my family, my sisters don't let me get away with stuff like that. They're always up in my business, right? Last night, Karen and I, we stopped to get some eggs for my sister. Bless her heart. We pull in the driveway, and I'll tell Karen, we don't have time. You have to stay in the car. So 1 hour later, we finally left. So as a family, though, we need to be better at that. And that could be, like, we could just end our message today with that, right? Let's all be better about really, truly caring for each other. But I want to go deeper than that. I want to talk to you guys about how we can actually be good, right? So when Pastor Don and I were talking about this, he shared with me this story about a friend of his. Truly a friend of Pastor Don, because you'll find out how he loved making people uncomfortable. This guy decided, I want to have deeper conversations. So he came up with 7 areas that he would go, how do you want to know, or what do you want to know about me? Here's 7 areas. Here's 7 things that are going on. And so when somebody would say, "Hey, how you doing?" he would say, what do you want to know about? Here's 7 things. And people would just go, just saying hi, right? I think it's a great idea, but I can see also how it make people feel pretty awkward. So I want to ask you guys a question this morning. How are you doing? Good. And you? So I wasn't looking for the canned response. But what I would like to do is redirect our focus a little bit. Let's look at the global church for a few minutes. If you've been following the news, one of the things you'll find out is in Nigeria, over the past 15 years, 120,000 Christians have been murdered. 120,000. On average, 100 churches are attacked and destroyed in Nigeria a month. 100 a month. Let that sink in for a little bit. Just think about that for a minute. 120,000. Can you imagine what that would be like? Let's say 10,000, we'll just do simple math. call it 10,000 people a year within your country are murdered because of their faith. That's hard for us to imagine. We can't even begin to think about that in terms, because we had Charlie Kirk, right? What happened to our country? We couldn't believe it. How could this ever happen in the United States? That's happening 10,000 times in Nigeria. So how do the Nigerians respond in those situations? It's pretty remarkable. Guess what they're doing the next day? Getting together for a church service. Building's gone, but they just get together anyways. They're still living their lives every day like Jesus lives his life. How did they do that? How can they do that? In the United States, we have it so good that we've actually become very good at finding bad in the good. The phrase goes the other way, right? We find the good in the bad. But as Americans, we find the bad in the good. I was at a Ducks Unlimited dinner. How many of you guys know what the Ducks Unlimited is? Several of you? So for those of you that don't know, Ducks Unlimited, they invite a bunch of people to come have dinner. And they raffle off all sorts of guns. So guess what? It is 99% guys. It's pretty remarkable. All these guys show up because 1 out of 10 are going to walk home with a gun. Oh, man. Those are great odds, right? So you pay for an overpriced meal. They take all of that money, and they help to preserve duck habitat so that guys can go out and kill ducks. Right? It's so funny. This is Ducks Unlimited. Let's just make a place for them to live so we can go shoot them. But anyways, I digress. So we're there, and one guy we know, he wins a gun. And I'm expecting, like, the price is right. Come on down. He's super excited. No. You know what the guy's response was? You are not going to believe the paperwork I have to do. He just won a gun. But that's typical Americans. And not to that extent, every one of us have done that. Something good's happened, but somehow we've found the bad and the good. So what's the secret to these Christians who are throughout the world, live in these hostile countries? They lose loved ones regularly. Every day, their lives are being threatened. Their churches are being attacked. How do they continue to live their lives and live with such joy? Here's the secret. They focus on Jesus. They recognize that Jesus is really all they have, and he's all that they need. And we just don't do that here in the U.S. We believe and we fall into this lie that Jesus is one of the things that we can balance in life. All right? That's a lie. Go look at social media. Look at somebody's profile. Just find some famous Christian guy that's out there. He's an influencer or whatever. Flip to his profile and it'll probably say this. You know, my name is Billy Bob Joe, and I believe in God, family, and country, in that order. And there's a danger to that. It sets up a competition, right? It sets up some contentiousness between God and family and country. There's going to be times when those three are in conflict with each other. So we fall for that lie. But in Nigeria, they don't have that problem because all they've got is Jesus. So let's look at a passage. We'll talk about this a little more in depth here. But Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Colossians 1, we're going to look at verse 15, and we're going to read through verse 21. Colossians 1, 15 through 21. It says this: the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. So what this does is these verses show us something, that Jesus just isn't in first place. He is in first place. But there's really no second place, right? There's no competition there because there's such a wide gap. And the big word that we use to sum this thought up is preeminence. Can you guys say preeminence? Preeminence. I was going to take some time and try to put some photos in here to help you guys understand that word more. But the only thing I could think of was M&M, not the candy, but the wrapper. And I didn't think that was appropriate. So anyways, but preeminence is the term. We talk about the preeminence of Jesus. It's not only that he's first, it's that nothing else exists without him. It's not just that he's first, nothing else is sustained without him. He is everything, and nothing comes close to him. Because of all of this, nothing else really matters except for Jesus. Our Nigerian brothers and sisters get this. See, the example that they set for us as they live their lives is that when they face persecution, Jesus is the only thing they focus on, him alone. And then in him, everything else is taken care of. So let's take a few minutes here. Five areas of our lives. I think almost all of our lives can be kind of summed up into five different categories. One is spirituality, emotionally, physically, our work, and then our family and friends. So what we want to look at is what happens when we focus on Jesus, what happens in each one of these areas, okay? So spiritually, there was this guy in the 1600s. His name was Blaise Pascal. Kind of a funky name. But Blaise Pascal, quite a remarkable guy. He actually invented the first computer. It wasn't like what we think of computers. It was more of a mechanical thing. And it was actually, I think, used for very much for bad because they used it to help calculate taxes. But he invented a computer. And so if you're a computer nerd, if you went to college in the 90s, you probably had to use a computer programming language called Pascal. And that's why it exists. That's why it's named after Blaise Pascal, one of the first computer guys that's out there. He also was a philosopher, a mathematician, physicist. And one of the things that he noticed is that every human being has some kind of longing for something. It's almost like there's something that used to be there in us that's not there anymore, okay? And what we do as humans is we try to fill that with all sorts of stuff. We fill this hole, this void, with any types of things, hobbies, family, relationships, work, any number of things. We try to fill it. And what Blaise Pascal says is this hole that we all can see never gets fully and adequately filled by all of these other things that we try to fill it with. And the term that people have used, that it's been very commonly known as, is that there's a God-shaped hole in our hearts. So because it's a God-shaped hole, it can't be filled by anything else, any number of things. It just doesn't matter. And the only person that can fill that hole is Jesus, because Jesus is the only person. So when we fill that hole by focusing on Jesus in our lives become totally different, much more fulfilled, and those spiritual benefits, they start to flow over into other areas of our lives. Physically, we become better. Emotionally, we become better. Work becomes better. Our relationships with our families and friends become better. So the first step is always to fill that void with Jesus. Second area we want to talk about is emotionally. How are our emotions affected when we begin to focus on Jesus? Here's something that all of us, if you really sit back and think about it, our emotions are dictated on things that we invest in emotionally, okay? So if we really love something, our emotions are affected by it big time, right? You don't believe me? How were all you Sparty fans doing yesterday? Right? Not so great. The Spartans, not so great at football. But how about when Tom Izzo and his guys take the court, Sparty fans become a lot more happy, right? And the same's true. Michigan's true. I'm in a text thread with a bunch of friends of mine, my brother, brother-in-law, some nephews. Oh my goodness. And what a bunch of babies we are. And we're all Michigan fans. And, let's just get rid of the whole program. Why doesn't the University of Michigan just get rid of all their sports? That's like, we haven't said that, but at some point it's going to come down to that. So, and then tonight we'll be watching the Lions games, and man, it's just going to be wah, wah, wah. We're going to be crying. Emotionally, we invest in it. Come hang out with me for a day and just watch how emotionally invested I get into things like throwing a piece of paper into a trash can, you know, and it, you know, the paper sticks to my hand and doesn't go in the trash can. Ugh. And then I got to bend over and pick it up. But then the other side of things, I'm a project manager. I am paid to organize things and to have certain outcomes come about, right? And when I make a plan and everybody does what they're supposed to do and everything goes well, my wife can't stand me. She's like, you know, my head's this big, I'm the best. Our emotions are dictated by these things that we invest in emotionally. So when we set our hearts on anything except Jesus, we're going to be let down. The reality is, Jesus never fails. He doesn't change. And he provides us with exactly what we need. Those are facts. And so if we invest emotionally into Jesus, we focus emotionally on him, we can experience joy and peace in just the most difficult circumstances. Physically, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, the Bible does have a lot to say about how we should handle our bodies. So 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. It says this, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives. When I read that, I kind of think of all of the little trends that we go through, like with this physical stuff, all of the different diets that are out there and things like that. Paul's saying, try to avoid that stuff. And he says, rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has values for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So when we focus on Jesus, we put him first, we begin to mature as Christians. And then we begin to realize that our bodies are just an avenue for sharing God's love to other people. All right? So it doesn't matter how good you are at getting exercise and getting the right type of exercise and sleeping and drinking the right amount of water and your diet, all of these things. Even the top athletes, your bodies start to break down at some point. But when we focus on Jesus, we recognize that that's okay. We have a bigger purpose because we're following Jesus. A lot of new people here at Grace, and you may not have met my friend Leroy. Leroy has attended Grace for 5, 6, 7 decades. 10 decades. 10 years, 1 decade. That's cool. So Leroy's been here for 10 years. Leroy is probably the sickest guy I know. And I mean that in only the best way. He is sick. No, he's just faced so many different, various ailments. And especially early on, Leroy was constantly going to the hospital and we would be praying for him. But every time Leroy's going to go to the hospital and you talk with him, well, Leroy, you're going to the hospital. Yep, it's my chance to talk to people about Jesus again. And he had a peace about that every time. Now, it's not always been that way. Last week, Leroy and I were talking. He had a big decision to make several months ago and had part of his leg removed. And then we were talking about, there was a point in this that he was like, could you put that back on, please? So he's had those moments where he's been down, but generally Leroy has used his body and the physical ailments that he's going through to help others. Fourth thing, work. Fourth area. And this is a big one. And I say that as a guy, because for guys, work is a big deal. All right? We just struggle with it. We want to have an area of our lives that we can control. I think this is what it is for guys. And we want to be acknowledged that we do good. And so that's work. That's work for men. And so we try to identify ourselves through work. And we want to be identified as that. You know, I'm a great fill in the blank. The problem with that, every job is temporary. At some point, you got to retire. At some point, you got to retire. And sometimes you do it joyfully, like I just saw Charlie shaking his head, yes. Yep, I did. I did that. Sometimes you do it joyfully because you know, your job just never was fulfilling to you. Sometimes, I've seen it, guys just, man, they hold on for a long time, way past their productivity, point of productivity. But it's because that's what we identify with. But when we put Jesus first in our lives, when he becomes preeminent in our lives, you're free to become what Jesus has created you to be. So you don't get pigeonholed. You're not stuck in a rut. When you focus on Jesus, our jobs become just part of one of the things that we do, not the thing that we do, not the thing that we are. When we focus on Jesus, we're a Christ follower first and foremost. And then the final one is family and friends. And this is a pretty tricky area because most of us have been raised to put family first. I was. And family's still very important to me. But it's not supposed to be that way. If we're not careful, our family and our friends can usurp Jesus Christ in our lives. They can take a place that they were never meant to take. Ephesians 6:1, here's, and you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it real quick. It's a very familiar passage to you, but it's easy to miss something in this passage, in this verse. It says this, Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents." And it doesn't stop there. It says, "In the Lord." In the Lord. So that command has a little caveat to it, right? In the Lord. It still keeps Jesus Christ first. Not parents, not friends, Jesus. So the problem with families, this is where I'm going to get in trouble, is, but I'm right, so you guys have to agree with me. The problem is, with families, is they're just comprised totally of people, right? Am I wrong? I am right. Families are comprised completely of people, and the problem with people is they'll let you down. And guess what? We're going to let them down. It goes both ways. So when we follow Jesus, he will never let us down. He's never going to let us down. And when we follow Jesus, we become more like him. We learn how to love people better. Okay? And those relationships become stronger, they become deeper, more meaningful. So I ask the question, how are you guys doing today? Good? Still good? And you? You guys didn't follow up with the "and you." Are you interested in seeing changes in your life? All right. I've got some steps. Three little steps. If you flip over to Colossians chapter 3, we're going to focus on this passage to wrap up here today. Colossians chapter 3. We're not going to look at the whole chapter, but we'll look at most of it. So bear with me. Colossians 3. We're going to see three steps that we can take to focus on Jesus and put him first. Step number one is to change our focus. Verses 1 through 4 says this, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." So when you decide to make a change in your life, it always starts with thinking, a change in thinking. Right? Doctor says, "I've got to lose some weight." I know, not the types of things that you come to church and want to hear, but I've got to lose some weight. First thing I got to do is make my mind up. Right? It's just true in everything. You think about, I go back to when I went to college. I made my mind up that I was going to go to college. And it was my mind that led me to get through 4 years of schooling. So we have to start thinking in a different way. So putting Jesus first is no different. So how do we change our thought life? Two things that I would recommend. Begin to have a healthy prayer life. Begin to have a healthy life, a devotional life, reading the Bible. Okay? If you're not regularly in God's Word and you're not regularly praying, your thinking's going to continue on the same path. So what I would encourage you today, a couple things. If you want to start changing your thought life, one, join us in our Bible reading plan. The church has had this plan going this year. It's on YouVersion. It's so easy to use. you just pop it open, read or listen to the passage for the day. It gives you an opportunity to think more deeply and comment with the other. There's like 30 of us that are on it. Is that right, Lisa? Like 30-some? You know, so it's not like a huge group, but it's a pretty big group. But it will help you be accountable and help you stick in it. So having this plan is one of those things. It's been great for me. Learned a lot. Like God spoke to me about things. We started in Genesis and we're in Galatians. We're in the Pauline epistles. We're getting close to the end. But here's the thing. Not too late for you to jump in. We would love to have you jump in, and we're getting close to the end, and so you can wrap up between now and the new year by just committing that little bit of time. It takes 15 minutes a day, 15 to 20 minutes. It's not that much time at all. Second step that we can take is to cancel your old ways. Cancel your old ways. So continuing on, in Galatians chapter 3, it says this, starting with verse 5, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. There are no Gentiles or Jews, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarians, Scythians, slaves or free, but Christ is all and is in all." So once our thinking is changed, our actions need to follow suit. And this little part of the passage is all about finding things that need to be removed from our lives. Get rid of those actions that were associated with our earthly nature that's contrary to Christ. So most of us look at that list and we're just like, I've got most of those down. I'm not having problems with them. But I bet there's one thing in there. I bet there's at least one thing that you guys could look at and say, I need to work on this. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, there's probably something in that list that you could work on. And here's what I encourage you guys to do. Make your mind up that you're going to do that, that you're going to remove that from your life. But then just don't stop there. Find somebody. Reach out to somebody and say, this is what I want to do. God's telling me that I need to change this area in my life and seek help. All right? Check with at church, at Grace. We've got several areas that you can get help. First one is home groups. All right? I love being in our home group. In that group, in that setting, it's very intimate, it's safe, and we can have conversations like this. I'm dealing with this in my life. I want to remove this from my life. Will you guys hold me accountable? What kind of advice do you have for me? Have any of you experienced that? These are the conversations we can have in that small group. Home groups is one. Another group we have is mentoring. Now that's even more intimate. It's one-on-one, maybe one-on-two, one-on-three, something like that. But it's a very, very small group. And within that, if you haven't done mentoring, it will take you through what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And in that, you can have these kind of conversations. And you can have even more accountability, higher level accountability. And then the third group, what I would say, is the staff and the elders. I encourage you, we would love nothing more to have conversations with you and help get you started on the path of changing the way that you live your lives. All right. Third step is to create a new path forward. And this is what it says. This is kind of long, but Colossians 3, 12 through 17. So therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So once you've changed your focus and you set about to cancel those old patterns, the term that I like to use is we need to backfill. All right? We need to backfill. So a few months ago, started on a project. We're going to build like a patio area outside of our slider out of our basement. You know, I am anticipating having it completed by like 2032 or something like that. But step one, whenever I do a project, is usually to buy stuff or to hire somebody to do a little bit of it for me. And then I take years, months, decades to do my part. So so guess what we have outside of our slider right now?
Dirt.
Well, it is dirt, but it is technically as a hole. So we have a hole outside our slider. And I have not taken the time to call and have some, fill. It's like the paver base, right? Paver base is what I need. I've been reading all sorts of stuff about this. So I need to get some kind of crushed gravel in this hole. But I haven't yet because, I've got till 2032. So, in the meantime, what has filled into that hole? Not weeds yet, but probably next summer. But leaves, I mean, there are a ton of leaves in there. And water. Every time it rains, that thing fills up with water. And the same thing's true in our lives. Like, if we just stop at step two and all we've done is pulled some bad things out of our lives, and we don't replace them, we're just going to fill with bad things again. And that's the importance of step three. We need to start filling into our lives things that are good so that we don't slide back into these things that we used to do. So again, this is one of these things that I just encourage you guys. I sound like a broken record, I know. Home groups, great way to start. One of the guys in our home group said, one of the things I want to start doing is memorizing Bible verses. And as a group, we said, great, we're not going to memorize Bible verses with you, but we will hold you accountable. He offered that to us. So that was one guy that totally gets it. What's the purpose of a home group? Part of it is accountability. Doing something good can be accomplished when we have somebody that's there to support us, hold us accountable to make sure we're doing it, and we're getting advice from. So home groups, mentoring, the church and staff, we all want to help you as you progress. So I encourage you, if there's something in your life that you want to either get rid of or add into your life, I'd be glad to talk with you today after church. Just grab me by the shoulder. Let's talk. I know any of the elders and the staff would love to talk with you also. grab one of them, have a conversation with them. So we'll wrap up with this. How you doing? Are you good? And you? Do you want a fuller life? Do you want a life that is hallmarked by joy and peace? You can have it if you'll focus on Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Again, God, we are so grateful for Jesus. And it wasn't just the sacrifice that he made on the cross that saved us from our sins. It was a life that he set, that in the example that he set, the life through the life he lived. We are so grateful for that. We can have a better life through him. So God, as we wrap up today, we just ask that you just help us to see the areas of our lives that need change, whether it's removing something or whether it's adding something to our lives. Lord, help us to do that and to take the steps necessary to make those changes. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.